Welcome back, everyone. This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Scott, joined by Rich with your average everyday Chiefs talk. All of our episodes are available on all major podcast platforms. Just look or search for the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast, as well as you can search for us on all various social media pages, such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All right, so how's things going for you this week, Rich? I know it's getting into the holiday season, the prime of the holiday season anyways, here in a few weeks. So how's been, work going, life going, I guess, in this month of December?
Hectic times, of course, because you got to make sure you have gifts for everyone that you need to have gifts for. Work always picks up around this time of the year. As well as the fact that it gets dark by 5 o'clock, so you don't really have much to do after you're done working, aside from just watch TV or something. So, it'll all culminate at the end of the year with some good eating, lots of presents, and then, wishing off this present year as we head into the new one. That's just how life goes, right? And it's good, but it's definitely crazy.
Yeah, it's, I see what you're saying there with the whole, getting dark early. It almost like after work, you're like, all right, time to eat something, maybe watch something on TV and then go to sleep. Cause it's just like, you're dark. Like, what else am I going to do at night during the week? Like I said, it's one of those time of years, and it's just kind of get everything ready with family. And, like you said, all the gifts. And, as related to this podcast, obviously, football, obviously in December, you want to win. In December, I don't think the Chiefs have actually lost in December in the last two years. So, obviously it's good, exciting football when it comes to this time of year, especially, with so many teams, with playoff grabs on the line, going into this later part of the season. Before we get into the, Raiders and Chiefs preview, I do want to mention something, and I know we talk about Chiefs mostly, obviously, on this podcast, but in general, we kind of, relate to anything in the NFL that's going on, or anything big. And I feel like it was probably something that we definitely should mention. And obviously, if anyone's aware or have heard the news from last night that Demaryius Thomas from the Denver Broncos, or used to play for Denver Broncos, among with the Texans, Patriots, and Jets, I think each for about a season, had passed away at the age of 33. It looked like I haven't heard exactly officially yet. I've heard different things. I know medical related. I did hear, as far as like maybe it might have been a seizure or whatnot, but related to might have been that car crash he had in 2019. But just kind of wanted to mention him because I think, obviously he's kind of around our age group. Someone passing away at that early of an age is just very, very sad to hear. Looking at his stats and everything he had done for Denver, he's obviously one of the, greater players that they had with that organization. He had almost 10,000 yards, catches. Obviously he was a Super Bowl champion at Super Bowl 50, four-time Pro Bowler. I know actually one of my friends who's a big Georgia Tech fan, actually was a big, fan of his playing in the NFL as well. So what are your thoughts as far as Demaryius Thomas that you kind of remember, Rich, from his playing days?
Yeah, like you mentioned, he was born in 87, which was the year I was born. So it's crazy to think that, someone who is considered, one of the most fit people on this planet being a professional athlete. I mean, and I know he's been out of the game for a while, but that, he died, let's say, of a health reason from everything we read. It's crazy to think that, that's possible. But, that's the thing about life, right, is you never know when it's the end of it for you. And one thing I did know about him, because he was a Bronco, so I didn't really keep up with him much aside from if I had him on a fantasy team or he was playing against the Chiefs, is he was a really good person, right? Everybody who's tweeted something out, former teammates, said how much he was always smiling and just full of life, very positive person, which is always something that's really, really good to hear because there are people that, obviously still living that we don't hear, let's say, the greatest things about, or maybe don't live the way you should, or really enjoy this thing as you should. So that's always good to hear that, let's say, for the time frame that he was on this planet, he enjoyed it. He made a positive impact. I think the most memorable moment that people have been calling out is when he caught that touchdown from Tebow in the playoffs to beat the Steelers. So that's always cool. And yeah, I also have some Broncos buddies that really, really liked him. And being a Georgia Tech guy, right, he was kind of labeled the Megatron Part 2. You know, Calvin Johnson number 2, because he was a big physical wide receiver under that Paul Johnson triple option offense there back when Paul Johnson was still there. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, from the human aspect, it sucks. I haven't read too much about, like, if, you know, who he is survived by. And hopefully he didn't have any little kids he's living behind or anything like that, because that's always terrible at such a young age. But, yeah, I mean, it sucks. And it reminds us that sports may connect us, but at the end of the day, we're all human. And, you know, just try to live as positively as we can while we're here.
Yeah, really good comments on that. And like I said, everything that you kind of said, I've kind of heard too as well, is, you know, he's always been a really great people to, you know, person, or sorry, to everybody in the community there in Denver. I've seen some posts today, you know, one that this guy and his two kids were at this autograph signing he had put on years ago. You know, had a smile on his face and everything. So, you know, obviously, like I said, we're here, we talk about Chiefs stuff. We don't really talk a whole lot about, you know, Broncos or anything else, but obviously he had a lot of history against us. I mean, he played, you know, us twice a year, you know, pretty much for his whole career there in Denver. And just kind of looking at his stats versus, I mean, he had some pretty decent games. I mean, there's games where he had targeted like 13 or 14 times, you know, caught like 8, 6, or 7 balls. Yeah, I mean, just as far as beside his football, but on, like I said, on a personal level, you know, to think of it, like I said, he's like kind of around our age group, and to think that he's kind of already gone, and just how nice of a person is, just, it's very sad to hear. So I just felt like it was something that we probably should have, you know, mentioned here on the podcast, just because, like I said, at the end of the day, we're all human, and it's not all about sports or football and all that kind of stuff too as well. So I just wanted to mention that. So moving forward, actually, obviously, this is what Marty Schottenheimer was said famous for, is this is Raiders week. You know, it's always the games that he looking forward to when he was coaching as the Chiefs. And it's also another week that Chiefs fans look forward to, you know, when facing another divisional rival foe. So with that being said, kicking off, or I guess a preview for a week 14 game against the Raiders, I'll go ahead and send it over back to you, Rich, for inside the numbers between both teams.
All right. So the Las Vegas Raiders come into this game exactly at 500 at 6-6. Chiefs come in to this game at 8-4. Technically, the Raiders are at the bottom of the division, and the Chiefs are at the top of the division. Something that was a little bit different a few weeks ago, right? So glad we're on the positive side of that. Given some stats on the last few matchups between the two, the last 5 games, 4 of them have been won by the Chiefs, and one of them, dating back to October 11th of 2020, was won by the Raiders. So Chiefs definitely hold that, or what they are on, the more positive side of winning over the last 5 matchups. And then as I get into just overall rankings of the team, I'll go over the Raiders numbers first. Offensively, their points scored per game, they come in at 17th in the league, a little bit over, or a little bit under 23 points, so at 22.8. So say 23 points per game. Defensively, they allow 26 points per game, which is 26th worst in the NFL. Or however you want to say it, right? They're ranked 26, whether you want to think it's the worst or the best.
Right.
However you want to understand that. They have the second best passing offense in the NFL and the 27th ranked rushing game. Defensively, they give up 230 yards per game, which is 13th best in the league. And they give up 124 yards on the ground, which is 26th. heading over to the Chiefs, they score 25 points a game, which is 13th best, and they allow about 22 points a game, which is the 8th best, something that we definitely didn't think we'd say 8 weeks ago or something like that, right? So passing yards, the Chiefs are the 5th best passing offense with 281. Rushing yards, they are 19th with 110 per game. Defensively, Chiefs give up 252 passing yards per game, which is 24th in the NFL, and then 115 ranking 20th in the NFL. So at the end of the day, they both pass the ball really well. Defensively, Chiefs don't give up a lot of points. They may give up a good amount of yards, but it's that old bend but don't break Steve Spagnuolo defense that is in full effect for the Chiefs. What do the injuries look like today and heading into the weekend?
All right, so the Chiefs injury report for this weekend against the Raiders. It looks like the only player that we actually have listed out this week is Chris Lamons, who I actually mentioned, I believe, in our recap from the Broncos game, that he hurt his ankle on that first play of the game, the kickoff, actually. And so he hasn't practiced all this week, is listed as out. As far as the other injuries we have, are just, it looks like the two that were missing from last game, Rashard Fenton, cornerback, and Lucas Niang, those guys are actually listed as questionable for the game. Looks like they limited practice both Wednesday, Thursday, and also today as well on Friday. So look for to see if either one of those play or both of them play. That obviously, Rashard Fenton, missing him for our cornerback, especially since we're already down. We were down him last week, but we kind of pretty much need any single kind of guy right now as far as on the secondary, just to make sure that we have that consistency going on. We have been from the secondary recently. So hopefully he'll be back along with Lucas Niang. Now, the way Andrew Wiley's been playing, I would say as of late, I don't see Lucas stepping back into that starting role. But it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do if he is able to play come Sunday. That was it for the Chiefs as far as on the Las Vegas Raiders. The very first person that sticks out, and actually just saw this not too long ago, Darren Waller is actually out this week for the Raiders. Looks like he has a knee back injury that he hasn't practiced at all this week. And that's very key because obviously he is probably like the main focus point of that offense besides Henry Renthro. So besides, him being out is a big miss for them. Besides him, it looks like Carl Nassib, defensive end, has a knee injury. He actually did not practice at all this week as well, so he will be listed as out. And then also linebacker, I'm going to probably butcher this name, Patrick Onwuasor. I probably butchered that. He has a hamstring injury, and he's listed as out as well for hadn't practiced as this week either. And lastly, it looks like Denzel Perriman, also the other linebacker, has an ankle injury, who did not practice this week and is listed as doubtful. So most likely doubtful guys normally tend to be out. So look for him to be out as well. So they might have, it's looking like they have four key guys out, three of them on their defense, and of course Darren Waller on the offensive side. So that will be something, the very good news, like I said, for the Chiefs, but also, like I said, a little limit as far as their passing game and all the targets that they had going to Waller going into this game. So so that's the injury report for both teams for this week. Heading into our next discussion really is kind of based on how the Chiefs and Raiders first game that they played. Obviously we played them back on week 10 in mid-November and beat them there in Vegas 41-14. And if I remember correctly, that was the only game, probably the only game this year, that we've actually played complete football, whether that being offense, defense, special teams. We were hitting on all cylinders that day. Mahomes actually had 5 touchdowns, once again on the season in that game as well. So what are your thoughts as far as Rich, like from what you had seen from that game and all the games between this one, between both teams, how well they've played or what do you expect from this game?
So for me, as you mentioned, that game, week 10, was a complete game. Mahomes didn't force anything, basically took everything that was given to him and just destroyed the Raiders, right? I understand the Raiders were coming off some tough times, so on and so forth, but at the end of the day, you still have to play the game. Since then, from a Raiders perspective, they've lost, including the Chiefs game, they had lost three out of the last four, only beating the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. The Bengals game and the Chiefs games were very lopsided. Cowboys games, they won a pretty interesting game there in overtime, and then they only lost to the Washington football team by 2 points. So to say that, let's say the Raiders have been in complete shambles since, not so much. They really lean on Derek Carr's ability to throw the ball. Not having Darren Waller is huge for them. They obviously lost the wide receiver Henry Ruggs a few weeks back, right, during that harsh stretch for them of losing coaches and players and stuff like that. They're going to rely on Derek Carr to throw the ball a ton. Kenyon Drake broke his ankle, if I'm not mistaken, 2 weeks ago. And so they just have Josh Jacobs versus their two-headed monster that they normally like to run. And I think it'll be more of the same. Anytime the Raiders get out tied and within in a cold environment, they've kind of shown that they struggle, which is why they've only won, one game versus the Chiefs in a while. So I think that's what it'll come down to is Derek Carr throwing the ball, which will probably go a lot to Hunter Renfro. Chiefs have to really key in on him. And then running the ball, from what we've seen stats-wise, Jacobs will run the ball a ton, but as long as he doesn't get in the end zone, it's fine. So I think that's what, let's say, I expect to see is a lot of Derek Carr and then the Chiefs kind of just continuing the good defensive run offensively. I won't jump too much into it right now, so we can have a little bit more of a chatter there from an offensive perspective shortly.
So, those good comments as far as what we've seen between when we played them in week 10 and where we are now. Like I said, the Raiders have picked up some injuries. They also lost, that was before our game, but like I said, they had lost Henry Ruggs due to that situation. Obviously, even before that game, we don't have their head coaches started this year. So they've been kind of on the downspin. I mean, obviously, they played that crazy game on Thanksgiving, I would say, against the Cowboys because it was just a lot of penalties and it was kind of a strange game, I thought. But which is the only game that they won, which they had, like I said, going overtime to win. But I still feel like they've been, still been playing to me kind of the same way they have since we played them. I haven't really played much better. But as far as what do I expect as far as the Chiefs, as far as the key of the game going in for this one? What I would normally say is don't change anything because obviously we had that perfect game, but obviously we have to change something because the Raiders are going to be keying in on that tape. So we can't just be do exactly every single thing. It doesn't mean you don't have to, change everything. But I mean, as far as they did really well, like I said, in that game, mixing up the pass, the run, but they're just going to have to come up with different, and they know this too, but different kind of plays and ideas as far as how to beat this Raiders team the same way they did week 10.
Yeah, one thing for me is I think the Raiders were the first team to play single high coverage or just not play a too deep coverage on the Chiefs, and they paid for it massively, right, with Patrick Mahomes having his best game of the season. And I would expect the Raiders to play that differently this time. I would expect them to, stay in that two deep shell, keep everything in front of them. So Patrick has to take the short game. Expect Travis Kelce to have another humongous game as he always does versus the Raiders. should be north of 100 yards. I would say somewhere between 7 to 10 receptions, one or two touchdowns. And I know those numbers are those are general ranges, but like I said, north of 100, I would say more than 5 receptions and a minimum one touchdown for Travis Kelce. I also think it'll be a big game for Allaire and Williams in the pass-catching game coming out of the backfield. So that's what I see. I see the Raiders not making the same mistake and playing single high coverage. They'll play two deep shell, keep everything in front of them, force Patrick to play as most teams have been playing him this year. And then Travis Kelce having another humongous game. So Kelce, Williams, Allaire, I think will lead the stat category for the Chiefs in basically everything. I think Tyreek will have another game where he's stifled and everything stays short. He might have a lot of receptions, but let's say maybe not, you know, those big yards that he normally gets.
I'm going to ask you, do you think for this game, do you think this could be the breakout running game that the Chiefs have probably wanted to have by this year? Do you think this could be the game where they go over 100 yards easy, or maybe not? I wouldn't say easy, but, you know, Allaire probably could, you know, well, I say Allaire and Williams could probably get close to 150 yards in this game. Do you think that could happen?
So I don't know. The reason why I say that is it depends on if the Chiefs are able to get up early. If it's a struggling match, you know, the first quarter, it's a low scoring game, they're close. Andy starts to get a little antsy and just finds ways to get the ball. I mean, and that makes sense, right? You've got Patrick Mahomes, he's your best player,
right?
Quarterback in the NFL, you have to use his skill set. So that to me is situational based. If you get up early, then yeah, you want to start bleeding out the clock. It might be, let's say, like a Bills game last year, right? Not this year, where we were up early and we ran Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I think that was, the second or third game of the season last year, and it was a really good game. So I think that is possible, but it just depends on if they get up early, which I don't – I think this will be a slow starting game. I think it'll be a defensive struggle in the first quarter, and then I think it'll break loose. I'm going to say with a Derek Carr interception, Arrowhead gets hyped, and from there the Chiefs kind of pull away.
I could definitely see that. Like I said, all depends on how the game starts out and how it, you know, what are the Raiders giving us, right? Are they going to be, like I said, hopefully smart enough to play two safety deep to make sure that there is no, you know, breakaway plays or big plays that we had from week 10. I definitely see that they won't do that. They will, they won't, make sure we'll have that same kind of open space that we had. So like you said, I think this is going to be a big game from the running backs. Not like I said, not only running the game, but I think, like you said, screens, those passes that, and the flats, I think they're going to have really good games, from this game they expect. And then, and obviously, like you said, a little bit ago too, is Kelce. He always has those kind of games. So I don't expect any kind of, drop in his productive against the Raiders as well.
Yeah, I mean, and my thing from a Raiders perspective is it would be dumb not to, right? Like, you got absolutely torn apart when you played the different way that the NFL showed you should play Mahomes and the Chiefs. So follow that model. You know, maybe you have a good game from Carr and Renfro and Jacobs, and just don't let Patrick be confident and, you know, get out in front of you. So I would like to think that the Raiders are smart enough to not make the same mistake, but, you know, I guess we'll see on Sunday, because that's the only way I see it being a game is if they learn from their mistakes. And at the end of the day, Kansas City is a more talented team. We've got more players in, let's say, all the necessary spots, so the Chiefs should win this game. And, you know, kind of as I mentioned before, I think Travis Kelce, Allaire, Williams, like you said, you know, catching a lot of things in the flat, screen passes, stuff like that. Get Denzel Perryman to chase folks, because Denzel Perryman leads the NFL in tackles, and he's great at stuffing the run. But if you get him on coverage a little bit, he struggles just a bit. And we all know that Allaire and Williams can catch. So, you know, those are definite keys to the game.
Right. And hopefully this is another game, like you said, oh, the offenses came up to show and play again. So I know it's against the Raiders, but let's hope we'll at least see better performance out of the offense from this game.
Yeah, I mean, and from an entertainment perspective, I think, most folks would love it to be like that Cowboys game that they had on Thanksgiving Day, where it's, you know, both teams are just flinging the ball and it's in the 30s. It would be fun, but, you know, I'm always okay with it being a boring game and the Chiefs winning by a lot. So I'll take my desires and wants versus the entertainment of others.
Very true. So as far as the defensive side of ball, it's almost getting to the point where I'm just like, what else do they really need to improve on? I mean, they obviously, you always improve on something. You always want to get better. Just how the defense has played recently has just been incredible. But, you know, especially with what Spags has done from this defense, I know we all at the beginning of the year, not only like, you know, different plays we had seen as far as wide open receivers, you know, all saying that, you know, Spags is not a good defensive coordinator. He's really put together just in the last five games, obviously, that we've won, really good packages. In different ways that he's throwing different these players out there. You know, so for me, you know, I'd like to see continually mixing up what he's doing like with those packages. Like I mentioned in our recap as far as how he's done different line shifts. He's putting out better players. I was reading about today on third down situations to make sure that third down situations are, you know, one of the plays that we have our players, you know, with more, what do you say? It's not as fatigued, I would say, one of our better players on third down to make sure we're getting them off the field, getting the offense on the field. So I'd like to see, like I said, continuation of that. And then also continues with those blitz packages as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's kind of what you mentioned. It's we don't need to do anything crazy. Keep doing what you're doing. I know that Sorensen had an interception last week and Ben Neiman tipped it, but let's not get a little too excited. Let's not start doing things that we haven't been doing recently. I was listening to, or I was watching the news the other day, and they interviewed Spagnuolo about Sorensen, and he said, we never benched him. We just, you know, put him in different spots, which I think is coach talk to the media. And, you know, which that's why they're coaches in the NFL. They're professional coaches. They're supposed to give their players a ton of confidence. And, you know, they put Sorensen in a position to make plays, but I hope, you know, it's not one of those situations where it's like, see guys, he can do it. You know, and they start giving him a few more reps,
right?
Certain spots like they did at the beginning of the year, because, you know, we've been doing well. The defense has been playing lights out. Thornhill, Matthew, Sorensen in his special package does well. So yeah, it's just keep doing the same thing. Jones has been great with Ingram and Clark, the linebackers, even Hitchens, you know, lighting people up, even though it's a penalty nowadays to hit somebody hard. So, yeah, it's just Chiefs defense do the exact same thing. You don't have to worry about Darren Waller. You have to keep Renfro in front of you and stop Josh Jacobs, and it should be an easy win.
Yeah, I think so as well. Like you said, just don't need to change up a whole lot of things. I know obviously Spag said about he wants to get Bolton in more snaps in the game too as well, which – I think all of us would like to see, but the way the defense is playing, you know, even Hitchens, you know, like I said, he stepped up too as well. You know, it'd be interesting to see how they put Bolton in more situations. I guess, like I said, it all depends on how, what the game flow was like, injuries, that kind of stuff as well. But I do have a question for you. So obviously we know Sorensen had the interception last week and he had that pick six, and he has typically good games against the Raiders. Do you see him getting another interception on Sunday?
Man, that's a very loaded question, because it's I don't want to see him out there a lot, because we've seen what the defense looks like when he's out there a
right.
lot. Yeah. But like you said, he just has a knack for making plays mm-hmm. In certain situations, especially against the Raiders and the Chargers, right? So, I'd have to – let me see if I can pull up Derek Carr's interception numbers really quick over the last few games.
I know that was kind of like a long – it's kind of like a long-winded, you know, question in a way. But, you know, like I said, relatively history-wise, when he's out there, whether it being how many snaps that he's playing, he normally, you know, gets Carr sometime. I mean, even if it's not every game, it's like almost every other game. If I'm not right, it's pretty much like – every other game, he's doing something big.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't want to be a homer and be like, yes, of course he is, right? I like to
right.
logical feedback or logical responses to questions. Mm-hmm. So, man, I don't know. I think If he did, great for him. I mean, Carr, he's got 9 interceptions on the year, if I'm not mistaken. So, yes, it's not the best, not the worst. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any over the last 2 games. Versus Chiefs, he only had 1. Versus the Bengals, he only had 1. So, I mean, he does throw the ball a ton, and I think they're going to have to throw the ball a ton. Doesn't have Dan Waller. So, I'm going to say no to Daniel Sorensen getting an interception, but I think we will get an interception. And maybe remember that game where Marcus Peters still played for the Chiefs? I think it was like 24-0 in like the first quarter. And he had like 1 or 2 pick sixes. I think Marcus Peters had one years ago. Mm-hmm. Man, it'd be nice to have one of those. Like, you know, let the defense ball out. Have Matthew or Thornhill or even Legarius Sneed, man. That guy deserves a pick six so bad. I'd love to see something like that. I'd love to see Sneed, Ward. Heck, you can even go with, you know, Willie Gay taking one back. Maybe on like a bracket coverage where, you know, you've got whoever's going to follow Renfro around in the slot and you've got Gay Jr. Bracketing the inside and, you know, they catch Carr sleeping, catches him on a crossing route, takes it to the house. I think that's what I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for a pick six by Willie Gay or one of the linebackers.
So I'm not going to go with any pick sixes in this game. I mean, if we do, we do. But I'm going to say we'll probably get 2 interceptions on Carr in this game, you know, whether it be any, you know, certain players or whatnot. And then I would say about 3 sacks too as well. I'm hoping that we can kind of step up because I feel like this is going to be a big game for us. But I feel like we'll turn the ball over a couple times for sure on Carr.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be throwing the ball, right? They're going to throw the ball a lot. And obviously when you throw the ball a lot, there's more opportunities to get sacks because, you know, you don't have to worry about running the ball so much. Or, sorry, stopping the run. So, yeah, I agree with that sentiment. I think, you know, 2+ sacks, I would say at least 1 interception. And I'm going to say if there is an interception, it'll be a pick six. Yep. Bold predictions with just pure desire, no logic.
Right, exactly. It's pure, just kind of like, yeah. We're at the end of the day, we're fans. We're not going to find all this stuff out like being, you know, 100% accurate. As I kind of lead into our final topic, which just like I kind of just mentioned, as far as like. We're pretty much never accurate on these game predictions we're about to predict. But as far as our game predictions for this game, and man, it's tough because I was almost kind of going to go with the same relative score from our game in Las Vegas. I'm going to go with 35-13 Chiefs.
So I'm sort of in the same place. I'm going to say Chiefs will have 31 points. And I was going to say the Raiders would have 17 points, 2 touchdowns, and a field goal. But I'm going to now, you know what? I'm going to stick with the 17. I think they'll get 2 touchdowns. 1 will be in garbage time. They'll get 1 somewhere within the first half. We'll lock it down as we always do, as we've done lately in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be a field goal somewhere there by their recently Big Bank kicker. They also just paid their punter today, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to say 31-17 Chiefs.
Well, there's one thing about kickers as far as when it comes to the Raiders is they don't have Janikowski out there anymore. Man, and when he was out there, I felt like if they had the ball like on the 40 of ours, he could kick it from there. Again, he just had a leg whenever he was on that team. But obviously,
first round pick, huh? That's just insane. I remember when the Raiders did that. I was like, what?
Yeah, I mean, it worked out for him for many years, though, you know, whenever he was picking, that was for sure.
I mean, they made it to a Super Bowl. What was it, his rookie year, I think?
I think, yeah, if not his rookie year, it was like his second year, yeah.
Right.
So, well, so pretty much with that, like I said, I mean, we'll see how the Chiefs do as on our predictions. You know, as always, we kind of try to get as close as we can, but we'll see how it goes for it. But I think, like I said, kind of how we've been talking on this, preview that it feels like the Chiefs should win this game pretty handily for the most part and continuously see the defense play well and the offense hopefully getting back to how that game was in week 10.
Yeah, for sure. I have to talk myself out of thinking that the Chiefs won't win this in a comfortable manner. Think it'll be tough or tight early, But once the game gets going, I think the Chiefs pull away, and it's pretty comfortable win.
Yep, for sure.
Tomorrow is the Heisman presentation, since that is the most important football topic at the moment. Mm-hmm. Who is your Heisman winner?
So I am going to probably go with the obvious. I think you all know what the obvious is. definitely Bryce Young for Alabama quarterback. I'm sorry, he's got my vote.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm the same way. Like, if I were betting, there's always the brain versus the heart pick. Bryce Young should be the winner. I mean, he's the best player on the best team in the country, so it almost doesn't make sense not to pick him. Mm-hmm. I would love for Kenny Pickett to win the Heisman. I think what he's done at Pittsburgh is amazing. He even just got a rule change because of, his running ability. The College Football Committee has now banned the fake slide. Because of last week in the ACC Championship. So yeah. I think, man, if you get a freaking rule made because of you, you have to win the Heisman. He's got the numbers on a lesser team. I mean, Alabama's Alabama. You could put me at quarterback, and we'd probably win the national championship, even though I'd look like Kyler Murray out there. It's like, man, Kenny Pickett, he's a Heisman. I'm all aboard the Kenny Pickett Heisman and NFL draft train. So Bryce Young is the money pick, but, man, if Kenny Pickett somehow wins it, I'd be all for it. Now, you do know something that I don't like about, let's say, the Heisman is they Will Anderson, the defensive end outside linebacker from Alabama, has amazing numbers, right? I mean, like out of this world numbers, basically better than Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan. Didn't get an invite to New York. And that's kind of what sucks about this Heisman list, man. It's basically become, a quarterback award. Running backs used to win it a lot, right? But the game is such a passing game that Devontae Smith was the first wide receiver since, was it Desmond Howard, I think? It's one of those where, man, the Heisman, I wish there were, I don't know, I wish it was better. I wish it actually included all the best football players. And it'd be cool if they maybe did like a live on the spot voting ceremony,
right?
Kind of like just make it better, because you get there, the band plays, they talk to each Heisman, every Heisman that's there. It's a pretty boring ceremony. Like, update
it is. They already know who won. They're just talking for an hour.
Yeah. So, and like you said, you already know who the obvious winner is going to be. Man, make a show out of it. Make it a little bit more interesting, because it used to be a big thing, right? And now it's like, whatever. So. But, yeah, that was my little hot question I wanted to sneak in there for you. So, Bryce Young on your end, Bryce Young on my end for the money pick. But if Kenny Pickett wins it, that's who I would vote for if I were a Heisman voter.
No, like I said, that would be – if I didn't really think Bryce Young was the guy to get it, because, like I said, pretty much all the money is going to be on him, I would probably go with him. I would probably go with Pickett as well, just because, like you said, I mean, you get a rule created after you. The way your performance is for the season, and like you said, you take him off the team. It's like, man, where are they going to be? Where would they be? They wouldn't be where they would be in that title game, even though the ACC was wide open all year. But he obviously helped them get there to the championship game. So very interesting. You said tomorrow, right?
Yep. Tomorrow night.
So yeah, that'll be interesting. I'll probably have to try to watch some of that. Even though I might skip through a lot of the boring parts, but at least try to watch a little bit of it and find out who ultimately did win the Heisman. So,
yeah, definitely.
But yeah, good topic bring up for today. We'll go ahead and we'll end it that for today's episode. And like I said, check back with us after the weekend for our breakdown on the Week 14. Chiefs and Raiders game, which, by the way, you going to the game?
That's the plan, but I always decide not to the day of, when I start thinking about the 6-hour event it is to get to and from a Chiefs game.
I hear that. Yeah. So
I'm old. I think you're older than me, but I'm like actually like 50 something.
I hear you on that. So, well, if you aren't, it's all good. Either way, you get to watch it at home or, you know, they're live at the stadium. So
yeah, and it's not going to be too cold this weekend. I think it's going to be like 52.
Yeah,
52. Than what it was, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. It's pretty freaking cold. So
yeah. All right. So, yeah, thanks for everyone listening today. Don't forget to follow our podcast and go Chiefs.